Hi, I'm Dr. Jillian Murphy, a naturopath, healthy-ish lifestyle architect, body joy seeker, and French fry activist. And you're listening to 100% Healthy-ish. Here's the thing. As a naturopath and an intuitive eating, health at every size health coach, I have seen every angle and end of the health conversation. And after years of clinical and coaching experience, I've developed a framework for feeling good and having fun that I know you're gonna love. To be healthy-ish, we move beyond the boring basics and consider some ish you have never thought of before when it comes to your health. Are you ready? It's gonna be fun. Let's go. Okay, back for what may be the final episode for the summer. I know that I said this at the end of February that I was going to take a break, and then I ended up podcasting straight through, and that could happen again with short episodes on Thursdays if, you know, inspiration strikes. But just in case, I want to say that this may be the last episode until later in August. I'm just looking forward to some time to rest and rejuvenate and also prep for a healthy-ish 3-week reset that I'm going to be hosting in the fall. I have been working on this idea for a long time, and I'm ready to sort of like pull it all together and figure out the exact format and how I'm going to deliver it so that we are ready post-summer holidays to dive right into this 3-week reset from a totally healthy-ish perspective. Today, I want to talk about the moon cycle. So we are, as this goes live, I turn 44 on Saturday. This is Thursday when this goes live. And one of the things that I talked about in the episode that went live on Tuesday is the fact that life and work have slowly been feeling unsustainable, right? That healthy-ish, this model that I've created, is deeply designed to help you approach how you feel in and about your body in a really flexible, pleasurable, sustainable way. And so I love that. I love that that part of my life feels like it's in a really good place most of the time. But other aspects like social life and work and how we're running our house, and there's just this creep that happens, and we start to feel busier and busier and busier, like we're on this ever increasing in speed treadmill, and there's this strong feeling like at some point we're going to fall on our faces or fall off. And so one of the things that I started in May is deeply working with the moon cycle. Moon cycles, sensuality and cycles are a key piece of the healthy-ish model and the blueprint that every single person gets who works with me. And I realized that I could sink deeper into my own cycles and using the moon as a guide to sort of find some more sustainability and space and peace in my own life. And so today what I want to talk about are the different phases of the moon cycle, a really brief, abbreviated, I'm not an astrologer, but I've just studied this for a long time. So my perspective on these different phases, and then I want to take you through what happened over the past month for me. And as I'm recording this, we're on the verge of the new moon. Actually, the new moon just happened in Gemini here, and summer solstice is about to happen. So I'll also talk a little bit about what it looks like moving into the next cycle. And that is something I may pop on, you know, as I'm talking, I may pop onto the podcast to talk about month by month, even if that's the only thing I pop on to do, because my goal is to use the cycles of the moon to gain some clarity over the course of the next year. So that by the time I turn 45, which feels like a true midlife point for me, I'm starting to feel a little bit more clear about what a sustainable life looks like. So let's get into it. Let's talk moon cycles. So most of us are familiar with the sun cycle that takes 365 days a year. And we are familiar with the seasons of that cycle that start with this big bang on January 1st of a new year, lots of potential and excitement. the winter, where we tend to be, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere anyway, more introverted, resting, restoring. And then we move into spring where we're planting and we're sowing seeds. And there's all of this potential again. It's a time of rebirth and renewal. And then we move into the summer that feels quite celebratory and social. And there's still, you know, interesting kinds of work being done, but for the most part, it feels like a really social season. And then we move into fall, which is a season of harvesting all of that bounty from the spring. There's harvesting and gathering and coming together through the fall months. And then we move into the holiday season where we're celebrating the end of another year. So we're really familiar with that cycle for the most part. The moon, on the other hand, goes through the same kind of cycle, but it does it in just under 30 days. And so I just want you to consider the fact that there is the potential for all of those moments, all of that transformation, rest and work and effort and harvesting and socializing within a moon cycle. Every moon cycle of a year, you have the opportunity to move through these spaces and places. And so particularly if you are looking to hone something in your life or work on something in your life, in my life, it looks like, how do I finally find a work-life balance that feels really sustainable and enjoyable and pleasurable to me? I am constantly in patterns of overwork or of rebelling against work and being in burnout, of scarcity mindset, of having to constantly redefine what success means to me because it's always just a little bit out of reach no matter what I achieve. So that is what I am looking to hone. And it's not going to happen in a month, but month by month over the course of the next year, I want to use these opportunities to check in and to work on this pattern that's in my own life. And the moon cycle offers us a really amazing opportunity. And more than that, what I really love about it is that it's this fun, kind of magical combination of woo-woo with just the right amount of tangible and practical. So this is manifestation, but it's not manifestation where you just dream it and think it and it arrives. It is intention, knowing what you want to create in your life. And for me, it's a life of a work-life perspective, I think even more than balance. Like it's like a perspective of balance and a clear understanding of what deserves my attention and what does not. And I keep getting sucked up into the wrong things, in the wrong thought processes, in the wrong activities, and then burning myself out. So that's my intention. But working with the moon isn't just about setting the intention like, oh, I would like that to happen and then just wait for it to arrive. It's intention paired with action and self-reflection and course correction. When you work with the moon cycle, and I'm going to talk about the different phases in a minute here, you are prompted to do each of these things over and over and over again as you untangle the patterns that aren't working in your life. It also gives you the opportunity to double down on the patterns that are working in your life. So that's what I'm going to do. Okay. So let's just talk about the different phases. And again, this is not all encompassing all the details. Others, I'm sure, will have a lot more to offer on this. I just want to give you the high level summary that I work with that I find very, very, very helpful. I work a lot with Cosmic Health, which is a book by Jennifer Ratchiopi. She's been on the podcast before, but I love her book. I love her work. And I have studied her writing as well as the works of others when it comes to astrology and how I incorporate that into the health practices of Healthy-ish. Okay. So the new moon, we have just had a new moon here, and I'll talk about that a little bit later what that means for me. But a new moon is the time where we set intentions. It is a time of newness and of planting seeds. What is it that you want to come to fruition? What do you want more information about? What are you looking to achieve? So the new moon is a time of intention setting. Then there's the waxing moon. And I always get these mixed up. I'm like questioning myself even as I'm talking. But the waxing moon is when the moon looks like, because of the way that the light is shifting, it appears to be growing. So the new moon is basically when there's just the very first teeny tiny sliver of light, of crescent of the moon. That's the new moon. And then the moon looks like it continues to grow over the course of 2 weeks into a full moon. And the beginning of that, we sort of call that the waxing moon. And this is a time of action. So this is, you know, you have set your intention, and this is the time to get to friggin' work. You've got the energy of the waxing moon behind you. And then right at the midpoint between the new moon and the full moon, the very first sliver of light to a very full, completely light, bright full moon, we have the waxing quarter. So it's when the moon is like a perfect half as it's growing. And this is the time when I find a test or a challenge arrives. So you set your intention, you've gotten to work, and then the universe presents you with an opportunity to see how invested you are in your intention. Are you going to stay the course, or are you going to abandon ship really quickly? So there's a test in there at some point. And then we move on, the moon continues to wax, and we arrive at the full moon. And the full moon is a time of reflection. It's a time to check in on your intention. Does it still feel right? To recommit to that intention, if it's right. And to notice the patterns that are playing out. What are the things that are working for you, that are getting you closer to that intention? And what are the patterns that are getting in your way? What do you need to start letting go of in order to get to that intention? And this is big, because the first part of this cycle is a little bit more fun for most people. The building, the action, the setting, the intention, the creation, it's very forward moving. Letting go is harder. Noticing what needs to go and trying to set it aside or let go of it feels often harder. But we make the decision, what do I need to let go of? And then the moon starts to wane. And then this is when the moon starts to, it looks like it's getting smaller and smaller until it's a dark moon. So the moon starts to wane, and it's really important because energy tends to be lower. We don't have as much of that momentum behind us. And so we want to make sure that we hone and we fine tune the actions that we're taking. Yes, you can still be taking action, but you want to be getting really clear on what's moving the needle and what's not. You need to conserve some energy and be more specific at this point in the cycle. And then the waxing quarter happens. So again, it looks like another perfectly half moon. But instead of the moon growing, you know, a half full, it's basically half empty at this point in the cycle. And this can be a moment when a big release is forced to happen. And this can be because you choose it or because you are forced into it. And it can feel very, very big. We don't always love when we're forced into letting something go, right? And then the dark moon is like, we've just moved through this at the end of last week. It's like the 3 days kind of leading up to the new moon, where the moon is actually almost completely dark. And it is a big time of just going internal, This was the first month that I made a really big concerted effort to create a lot of space and a lot of alone time. My husband was away for the weekend, which was hard in some ways because I was with the kids more, but interestingly created lots of space in my brain and my thoughts for myself. But it's a time of rest, not overcommitting yourself, giving yourself a lot of time to self-reflect and for information, for new information to come in. It's a deeply quiet, intuitive time. Okay, so let's talk about what this last cycle looked like for me really tangibly. So the new moon happened on May 19th, and it was a new moon in Taurus. And so that was the thing that got me thinking, because Taurus is a sign of earthly pleasure. It's like you are in this physical human meat suit, and you are meant to enjoy the physical world in this suit that you're in. And what is getting in the way of that? And I realized that it had been about a month, maybe a little bit less, of the overwhelm sinking into my life. And waking up feeling anxious and going to bed feeling anxious and doing pretty well through the majority of my day. But waking up and going to bed with anxiety feels awful. And it wasn't about any one thing in particular. It was just a generalized dread that was in me. And I, at that new moon, I just realized that I have set so many self-imposed expectations and structures in my life that were exhausting me. And that weren't actually, I don't mind putting in a lot of effort if I'm getting returns, but I just wasn't getting the returns that I was hoping for. And so I was feeling increasingly burned out by my efforts. And so my intention was to clear the air, to clear the space, to take a whole month to clear the stories and the expectations, most of which I'd set for myself, and the barriers, so that I could find the feeling that I want to have in my business and in my life. That was the intention. Taurus is all about enjoying life in these bodies that we're in on Earth. And I wanted to get back to feeling how I wanted to feel in life and in my business, which was not waking up and going to bed with anxiety. So that was it. That was the intention. And then the waxing moon began and I moved into action. And so what that looked like for me was really cleaning my schedule. I couldn't do much for the first week, but I really started to clear my schedule and create, you know, I couldn't clear it completely, but clearing out any of the extras, and I was fairly ruthless. There were a number of things that I probably would have considered almost a necessity, but I cleared it away. I was very ruthless, and I made a ton of room in my schedule to be with my family, to rest, to move my body, to sleep properly, and to make food and eat properly. Because these are all things that I realized I was not making. I was squeezing these things in, but I wasn't making time for them. So I made time for all of those things. What else did I do? I took a look at the financial side of things and I really pared it back. And I know that this is going to be different for people who are in full-time jobs, but as an entrepreneur, most of us have a spaghetti number, which is like, it's sort of an analogy, but it's kind of like, if you, what's the number that you could keep your life running at? Like, what number of income do you have to have coming in order to make things function at the bare minimum? Like, you're eating spaghetti every night for dinner. It's the spaghetti number. I'm not actually eating spaghetti every night for dinner, but for me, that was a number where, like, what is the bare minimum that my business needs to bring in to help, you know, mostly cover all the bills in our house and in the business? And, like, you know, some months will be a little bit better and some months could be a little worse, but like, I can hang in there. I'm going to be okay at this number. And so that took a ton of pressure off me. There's so much in this capitalistic entrepreneurship based world that makes us think that we have to set these enormous goals for ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with that, unless you happen to be in a phase where you're waking up with anxiety and going to bed with anxiety every night. And then it might be time to rethink that. So I came up with my spaghetti number, and that changed the way that I approached the work that I was doing and allowed me to be ruthless in clearing out my schedule. I want to also say I really cleared out a lot of social stuff as well. Is that right? Did I do that? I made more room for certain kinds of social things that fill me up. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. But I stopped committing way ahead of time to like a fully packed social calendar, if that makes sense. I also got back on supplements, coffee enemas, which I could talk about another time, because they really help with my sort of my nervous system and how I feel in my body. And I started taking psilocybin again. And that is a little bit of a taboo thing. I will maybe do a whole podcast about it at some point, but it is using micro doses of psilocybin to help with mood. And it shifts things for me. I don't take it all the time. I will take it for a period of time. And then I start to get the sense, like I start to feel tired when I take it, little things shift in my body and I stop. And then I will forget about it for months. But when this kind of generalized anxiety or flatness sets in, for me, this is something, again, this is just educational. I'm not telling you to take it, but this was one of my actions, was to start taking psilocybin daily. And I'll be honest, I forget it a lot. So it's probably more like 4 times a week. So those are my actions: ruthlessly clearing my schedule, getting clear on my spaghetti number so that I could clear my schedule, getting to bed at a good time, feeding myself really good food regularly, psilocybin and some coffee enemas. This is what I got to work on, as well as the bare bones household chores. We haven't had any help around our house in ages. We used to have a housekeeper monthly, but I decided I would go back to doing all of that. And I just hired someone to come in and help out with our house. So I just really tried to clear as much space as I could for myself. Then the waxing quarter came. And if you remember, this is when we often have a test. And for me, that test this past month cycle looked like some interesting discomfort. So within a week, that generalized anxiety that I was feeling in the morning and at bedtime was gone, totally gone. And I'm talking like it would keep me up at night. It would wake me up at 5 o'clock in the morning, gone. But there was a different kind of anxiety or discomfort that I started to feel around being too lazy or not being productive enough. And this is the pattern that I fall into. The pattern is I overcommit and overwork myself to the bone, and then I pull everything apart and I ruthlessly clear my schedule and I rest for like a week. And then the minute I'm partially microscopically rested and I have the teeniest bit of reserve left, I feel uncomfortable continuing to rest and I start filling up that schedule again. The test to pass here was to not give into it, was to not want to jump in and refill my schedule, not just with tangible activities on the calendar, but also with internalized expectations that I had for myself. Things that I was forcing myself to do every day in my job and in my life. So that was tough. That was a deeply uncomfortable part of the cycle. And it was interesting to sort of trade one kind of anxiety for another. And I really had to keep going. The full moon came, and I felt, as I was reflecting on the month, a really deep sense of gratitude. I felt different than I had felt in a couple of months. What I realized I needed to let go of, though, was this voice that wanted to chirp in immediately. You know, I check in with myself and I'd be like, oh my God, I feel so grateful to just be back to feeling grateful for this beautiful life that we've built and to be enjoying it, actually enjoying it and soaking it up on a daily basis. As soon as I would have that feeling, a voice would come in and go, but you can't keep doing this forever. You can't keep working like this forever. You can't keep all the naysaying. And so at the full moon, what I really realized I needed to let go of were the thought patterns that were driving my behaviors. Thought patterns around productivity, thought patterns around scarcity and lack. And I don't even know what that totally means as I'm saying it to you. All I know is I have to let it go. And yes, I have a therapist and I'll talk it through there. And I do fascial releases and I try to move these things through my body. But I think it's also going to be a process over the course of the next year, probably for the rest of my life, if I'm honest, but over the next year of figuring out what that totally means and looks like. But for the purposes of this month, I wrote it on a piece of paper. I burned it. I flushed it down the toilet. I'm ready to start letting that go. Universe, start directing me and how to let that go. Then the waning moon was about honing actions. And so I wasn't actively doing a lot more, or, you know, part of this month was about doing less, right? But what I did do is I started to gather a small list of things that I will need to do if I want to run a leaner, cleaner, more simplified, tighter business ship so that my life can continue to be more simple. Not completely simple, but more simple than it has been. What's going to need to change? Where do I need to block out time? You know, one of the things that I really realized on the full moon when I was reflecting on the things that were working is having Mondays more free. As I'm recording this, it's on a Monday. I'm getting things done in my business, but having the day more open to create content and block things off and having space to do them and not having little meetings sprinkled into the day, interrupting things, has been deeply rejuvenating. So I'm going to keep that for sure. How do I need to block out my schedule? You know, that kind of thing. And then on the waxing quarter, this is when the big release can happen. And for me, this was around some contractors that I have working for me. And this is hard because I pay them and I know that they count on the money that I pay them. But I had to really think about this because if I'm going to run a tight ship, I have to think about my business expenses and what's needed and what's not. I need to keep the spaghetti number low so that I can really work through this. And for you, you know, maybe you're not an entrepreneur, but maybe that needs, you need to look at like, what am I paying in gym memberships, or what am I paying in eating out, or what am I paying in subscriptions? What am I paying? I don't know. It could be any of those things, but I needed to keep the spaghetti number lower in my business specifically so that I wasn't caught up in the overproductivity cycle and spiral. And so that was tough because that looked like some tough conversations. And actually, I've been moving through it and I don't think I'm totally letting people go. We may just shift how we work together, but that was really confronting, having to really look at that and make a decision about continuing to help pay for someone's livelihood or not. And then the dark moon came. And, you know, unfortunately, this dark moon came at the end of a school year when it's difficult to be sort of completely introverted and alone. But I did my best to create pockets and moments of time to just sit with the month. And the only thing that really came to me is how much happier I am right now. So things feel better. They feel better overall. And that leads us into the new moon, which happened yesterday. The thing about this new moon in Gemini is it's all about play and clarity of communication, but a lot about play. And I actually have Gemini and Venus. And Gemini and Venus, like your sun, moon, and rising are all parts of sort of like how you present to the world and your inner emotional life. And I'm like Cancer, Cancer, Cancer. I'm Cancer across the board. I am here to be a mother figure in this life and to like reinvent what it means to be a mother, I believe. But your Venus sign is what you're actually striving to evolve into. And, you know, cosmically, if that's like the mystery school of your life. And so for me, Gemini is in Venus. And so I believe that I'm here to become a more playful kind of mother in this life, to birth or to usher in an era of taking really big, huge concepts, discerning them, you know, breaking them down, being really discerning about the information and sharing it in ways that are playful, which is really what healthy-ish is all about. So Gemini is a big one for me, but Gemini can also be, you know, it's two-sided a little bit. It's the twins, right? So what I heard from Shawnee Nicholas, who has a great astrology app, if you want to go deeper into this stuff, is that there was a lot of non-committal energy this weekend. So I'm going to be honest and say that I don't have a new moon intention yet. I was kind of hoping that I could tell you what my new moon intention is so that when I come back and revisit this for next month, you'll already know what it is and you'll be excited to hear what's transpired over the course of the month. But I'm just not sure because this energy has been really non-committal. And Shawnee sort of encourages us or was encouraging us to kind of wait till the solstice to really let things secure and solidify. So I'm still not sure what my new moon intention is for this next cycle, but I will say that this has felt really good. And I'm just excited to see what the next month has to offer. So if this is for you, I'd love for you to join in on the challenge. I have a birthday coming up. So I was thinking about 44 to 45 and doing this for an entire year, really playing with this cycle to see what can evolve and come from it. It's like manifestation in the most tangible, actionable way. But you know, solstice to solstice would also be phenomenal. That's also a really powerful time marker. So even if you don't have a birthday right now, thinking about what you might want to manifest from this summer solstice to the next is really cool. So if you're in, just join along, or you can drop into my DMs on Instagram at Food Freedom Body Love and fill me in or a post or whatever. I would just love to know if you are doing the same. And it might be fun to hear what other people are working on as they move through their moon cycles. So I'll be back in a month, if not before, to let you know how this experiment is going. Until next time, have an amazing time. And remember, last thing, as we're coming up on my birthday, I do have a 50% off sale if there are any left. I'm giving 50% off the a la carte healthy-ish blueprints as like a gift to you on my birthday. So instead of being $1,800, it'll be $900. And it's an enormous amount of information that you're going to get. It is a big, thorough 90-minute intake with me, including a really thorough intake questionnaire and an eating assessment that I do of you. And then I pull together human design and astrology and naturopathic and medical information to make the most beautiful blueprint for you that includes information about body, like food and movement and supplements, but also sensuality and cycles and space and place and mind, energy, and soul. And you get an audio to go along with that. So there's no follow-up included in the 50% off sale, but there's like the big thorough intake, the blueprint, the audio where I walk you through it all. It's a really incredible deal for the amount of time that I put into this. It's a huge undertaking with an incredible amount of information. So if you are looking for a blueprint for a sustainable, flexible, pleasurable way to take care of your own health, the link will be in the show notes. Hope to see you. I'm just going to do a few of these. When I say a few, I mean like six probably. And then I'm going to shut it down. And yeah, I'm really excited. I hope to see you there, and I hope to see you participating in this Moonly challenge.